What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I am your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 4, Rad versus Gleaming the Cube. This is a very special episode. When I first started Movie Battle, my vision would be for super fans all over the world to come to me with the movie battles they have in mind. And it's finally happened. Y'all will meet super fan Ben Hendricks not before too long, but he contacted me, told me he enjoyed the Varsity Blues Remember the Titans episode, and that he wanted to do Rad. Just so happened, the next day was my son's 6th birthday, and we had just bought him his first bike, so I'm already in that place. I'm thinking, Rad? Yeah, we can do that. And then the first thing that came to my mind was Gleaming the Cube. We put it together, got it booked, and here we are. So first, let's get to our fact and tidbits, and then we'll bring out the superfans. Rad was directed by Hal Needham, who is best known for all his work with Burt Reynolds, including The Longest Yard, Smokey and the Bandit, and Cannonball Run. It was written by Sam Bernard and Jeffrey Edwards. It stars Bill Allen as Crew Jones. Bill Allen, believe it or not, is a touring harmonica player for the band The Pipefitters alongside actor Lou Diamond Phillips. Also in the movie, Talia Shire from the Rocky movies and Godfather plays his mother. Lori Loughlin, yes. The Aunt Becky is his love interest, Christian. And even Ray Walston, good old Mr. Hand from Fast Times, is in here. Crew's main competition is Bart Taylor, who is portrayed by Bart Connor, best known for his 2 gold medals in the 84 Summer Olympics in gymnastics, and he is probably the preeminent gymnastics broadcaster from the Olympics coverage. Rad was released March 21st, 1986, with a budget of $3 million. The box office was only $2 million, so Rad would reach its cult classic status from video rentals, where it was actually one of the top 10 video rentals for the next 2 years. Now, Lori Loughlin, as we know from the recent 2019 college admissions bribery scandal, just last week on August 21st, was sentenced to 2 months in prison, and her husband actually was sentenced to 5 months. So the basic plot of the movie is Crew is a young BMX racer in small town Texas, and he has to choose between taking the SAT and going to college or trying to qualify for the Hell Track race, which has a prize of $100,000 and a Corvette. Most importantly, fame, street cred, you know the drill. Crew chooses Hell Track and he will qualify, winning $10,000 in the process. Hell Track is run by Duke Best, who is the president of the Federation of American Bicyclists and owner of Mongoose Bicycles. Best is constantly changing the rules to keep Crew out of the race and to ensure that Bart Taylor has no challenge to the title. Bart is sponsored by Mongoose, and him winning the race would be financially beneficial. Around this time, Crew meets Christian, and they like each other. There's probably the most famous scene from the movie is at the school dance, where instead of actually dancing, they perform freestyle bike routine to Send Me an Angel, which is much different than the middle school dances that I attended, where we danced to Bell Biv DeVoe, MC Hammer, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Now, after another last-minute rule change regarding participant sponsorship, this blocks Crew. His young sister gives him a shirt that says Crew is Rad. So Crew and his friends take the $10,000 they won from qualifying, and they start a t-shirt business called Rad Racing. Then Best changes the rules again, saying the sponsor company must be worth $50,000. Well, the townspeople find out about this, and they rally and make donations and contributions with a big donation from Mr. Timmer, who that was Ray Walston's character. Now, when they finally get to the race, Bart is winning, and he slows down, and there's a showdown with Crew on the final lap. Crew wins, and Bart is kicked off the Mongoose team. After that, Crew offers Taylor a spot in Rad Racing. So that's just a great, great tale of sportsmanship and action, and just what a wonderful, wonderful movie. Leonard Maltin, the famous movie critic, did not feel the same way. As a matter of fact, he gave it his bomb citation, which is the lowest absolute possible rating in his TV, movie, and video guide. So that is rad. Gleaming the Cube, which according to Urban Dictionary means to fail so badly that there is brilliance in the failure. And Christian Slater actually refers to it as pushing your limits to the edge. Gleaming the Cube was released January 13th, 1989, directed by Graham Clifford, and was written by Michael Tolkin, who also wrote the co-screenplay for one of my favorite movies, Deep Cover. Again, this stars Christian Slater, Stephen Bauer, who is best known as Manny from Scarface. Richard Hurd plays the bad guy in here, and I know him as Mr. Wilhelm from Seinfeld, George's boss when he worked for the Yankees, who unfortunately recently passed away this year, May 26, 2020. Also, Ed Lauder, the great Tony Hawk, Christian Jacobs, and Tommy Guerrero, so a lot of famous skateboarders from the Bones Brigade era are in this. And Max Perlich, who I know from Blow, is Dooley in that movie. Slater plays Brian Kelly, who's kind of a slacker, and he's a skateboarder. Takes place in Orange County. He's not exactly the apple of his parents' eye. His adopted brother, Vin, is seen to be more to their liking and is the perfect good student, has a girlfriend, dresses real nice. He goes to actually work for his girlfriend's father with the Vietnamese Anti-Communist Relief Fund, VACRF, which sends medical supplies to Vietnam. Colonel Track is actually, that's the name of the Tina, his girlfriend's father. While he's there, he's a shipping clerk, and he notices a suspicious inaccuracy, which he brings to Colonel Track's attention, who just kind of blows him off, and as Vin keeps pursuing it, he gets fired for it and is devastated by this, but he still feels a suspicion, and he breaks into the VACRF warehouse, where he is caught by Ed Laudell, who is the owner. He's played by Richard Hurd. He's taken to a hotel where he is interrogated and beaten, and is accidentally killed, and they hang him from a noose to make it look like suicide. After the funeral, Brian finds a list of medical supplies that Vin had been investigating, and he grows very suspicious of Colonel Track and reaches out to Tina, but she says they have nothing in common and does not want to have anything to do with him, basically calls him a slob. So he has an image makeover and goes straight prep, and starts dating her or hanging out with her and stuff, and doing things with her parents, and is at events. And eventually he breaks into the warehouse, where he discovers crates of weapons. So he uncovers what the scam is. He causes an explosion at the warehouse, and plants evidence to incriminate Colonel Track. Lucero, the detective that's played by Stephen Bauer, Manny from Scarface, immediately suspects him and gets on him for it, but this incident causes Track to panic, and he sends his wife and daughter away. Tina ends up staying with Brian, where she finds a lighter belonging to her father. She confronts Brian about this, and he explains all his suspicions to her. Then Tina confronts her father about the whole conspiracy. He's ashamed by this and attempts to just get in the whole operation with Laudell. Laudell ain't having it, and he sends some motorcyclists to run down Brian, but they get him, and he gets away. I'm out of control tonight. Both of these movies, Rad and Gleaming the Cube, two of my all-time favorites. Just this is just a great place from my childhood growing up in North Raleigh, which is just straight up suburbia in the 1980s. Just had a bike, had several bike shops near us, was into skateboarding for a little bit, had a great skateboard and surf shop near us, loved the video games. And if I wasn't already in this world, I just saw a friend of mine, one of my high school football teammates, Mason Fowler, just put a picture off Facebook of his restored operating 720 coin op video game. And I was just blown away. And like I said, I'm already in that place. And that's just one of those things where you just, you got to give the chef's kiss on that one. All right. So after this quick break, we're going to bring back the first super fan and we're going to get this battle going. Stick around. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next super fan is Ben Hendricks. Ben is from Lincolnton, North Carolina, and a graduate of East Carolina University. He received his master's from Kent State and is currently working towards an MBA at Xavier. He resides in Westfield, Indiana, with wife Kristen, son Hudson, and daughter Marley. Ben is the chief communications officer for Kiwanis International. Ben, welcome to Movie Battle.
Hey, Kev, thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. How would your parents describe what you do for a living?
That's a great question. I think my dad would say that, so I'm a communications guy, I'm a PR guy. So my dad would say that I get people out of the news when they need to be out, and I get people in the news when they need to be in.
That's beautiful.
Well, that's because I taught him over the years, because he asked me a million times, like, what the hell is it you do, kid?
That is great communications. All right, Ben. Who plays you in a movie about your life?
Who plays me in a movie? What's the going answer for a husky guy with a beard? Is it Galifianakis? Is it Jack Black?
Galifianakis was taken last week, but yeah, there's plenty of him to go around.
Yeah, that's like one of the answers for the slightly husky kid with the beard. It's got to be a Galifianakis, or for me, maybe a little bit of Jack Black.
Hey, okay, yeah, there you go. That's perfect. Yeah, but I think either one of those would be great casting. All right, what is your go-to movie snack?
So traditionally, I'm a sweet tarts guy. Like a big box of sweet tarts. When I'm at home, I got little kids, man, so we got a never-ending supply of goldfish. So I eat a lot of goldfish when we're watching movies at home.
I can relate to that. Yes, goldfish are everywhere in this house.
Mm-hmm.
You might be the biggest rad super fan ever.
My wife would agree.
What is it you love so much about the film?
You know, man, now that I'm like grown in adulthood, Rad just makes me think about my childhood, man. Like those movies that make you think about your childhood always hold a special place. And when I was a kid, you know, when we were kids in the mid 80s, it was either bikes or skateboards for the most part. And for me, just being on a bike was just so much more comfortable for me than being on a board. I could actually do it, you know, I could actually ride a bike and then add some tricks in here and there. And I remember, man, I had this sweet GT Performer. It was an 86, maybe an 87, and it was just the baddest bike around. And it's just like watching Rad just makes me think about being 10, 12 years old, no responsibilities in the world, just trying to do cool stuff and not go to the hospital, man.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, being a parent now is totally it's amazing what we used to do back in the day, but like our kids today, they start to go one direction, like, oh no, because man, I don't want to go spend a night in the emergency room. It's boring. You know, plus you don't want your kids to get hurt, but
I love, you're like me, I love that you brought it back to you. It's like, look, kid, I don't want you to get hurt, but I really don't want to have to sleep on that hospital chair, man. Like, come on, kid.
Right. Oh, GT Former, nice. Yeah, that was the go-to bike in my neighborhood.
Dude, if that, that bike's probably worth, it's probably worth a grand now if I had, if I still had it. I bet my parents probably, my parents probably sold that thing at a yard sale for like $20 or something.
Yeah, our parents, they do not have to throw away the baseball cards, but it's like now, like everything else, you go back like, oh man. Because like, I thought that, that you know, Jose Canseco Donruss was going to pay for my kids' college, but no.
I know, man. That that Upper Deck Ken Griffey Jr., you know, little Bill Ripken misprint on the bat. You thought you were going to be set for life, right? That was like buying Amazon in 1990.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, how times have changed.
Baseball, I know, man.
Big comeback. They're just they're so expensive.
Oh crazy. Man, see, my kids aren't even there yet. Like, where baseball cards are like expensive again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
And like, dude, you know, the people, these guys, they open up boxes and cases on YouTube, and it's a thing, trying to pull these autographed cars that sell for, I don't know, these Mike Trout or whoever, you know, the hot rookie is there that's going to sell for, you know, six figures. It's ridiculous.
Hey, you know Trout has an East Carolina connection, right?
I did not know that.
Trout was supposed to come to East Carolina, and he'd already signed and everything. Who was the coach then? Would that have been LeClaire?
I think so.
And LeClaire basically told him, like, look, kid, like, you got no business coming here. And so that's how Trout ended up not being a Pirate.
Wow.
I know, that sucks, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would have made a few trips there.
Yeah, exactly.
Deep trout,
exactly.
Yeah. Patrolling center field, climbing mm-hmm. that wall. Yeah. Well, I lost my train of thought. How do we get from bikes to baseball cards? Okay,
I don't know. That's what old friends do.
You know, it's funny. You reached out to me to do this, and it was the day before my son turned 6 last Friday, and we got him his first bike. So I'm like already, you know, in that zone. And of course I was in the garage where we hit it, you know, you can imagine what I was doing even with training wheels on it, on an 18 inch bike.
I love it.
Yeah, anything you could imagine, I tried it. I'm like on my dog's crate trying to go off the elliptical and just, yeah. What did you learn from Rad?
Oh man, I mean, it came out when I was like 9 or 10 years old. I'd say more than anything else, man, there's this like, okay, so there's this scene where Crew, which is such an awesome name, he's trying to convince his mom, who's played by Talia Shire, to let him skip the SATs so that he could ride in the qualifier for Hail Track. And he says this line that I remember trying to pull out on my dad like a million times. He looks at his mom and she's basically telling him like, hey, you're throwing your life away because you're not taking your SATs for this stupid bike race. And he says, when your gut talks to you, you listen. And I will tell you, that never worked on my father, but man, I tried it so many times. So that's probably the thing I learned the most. That and just being an idiot on a bike. Like, I can't believe I never broke anything because I tried everything and I didn't do very well. But yeah, that's my key takeaway, because I'll never forget, like, when your gut talks to you, you listen.
You got to, man.
Mm-hmm.
You got to.
you totally have to. You have to listen.
Was there anything you didn't understand about Rad?
Yeah, so like, there's this funny scene, man, in the beginning of the movie. The kids are like delivering newspapers, and the Crew delivers a single newspaper to a 7-Eleven. And I'm like, and now I watch it and I'm like, aren't the newspapers at the 7-Eleven? Like, why is the dude like delivering one newspaper to a convenience store? Like, that's the only place you could really get newspapers when we were kids. So that I always thought that was weird. And I'll tell you, man, like, this is embarrassing yet funny. Like, when I was a kid, like Full House, that show came out around the same time as when maybe like a year or two after, like Rad had become a thing.
Right.
And I remember wondering, I was like 10, 11 years old, and I remember wondering why Lori Loughlin was even bothering acting when she was such a badass on a bicycle. Like, like, dude, I totally thought, I never, like, I was crushed when my dad explained that some other badass was doing all the stunts, right? Like, mm-hmm. It was like, I thought it was Lori Loughlin. I thought that, like, Christian, the person in that movie was doing all these tricks. Turns out, like, Eddie Fiola and Martin Aparillo were two of the badasses doing stunts. Those guys are just crushing it. But yeah, that's like one of the things that I just could not understand until I was like, I don't, far too old to even admit on a podcast how old I was when I realized there were stuntmen doing bike tricks for Lori Loughlin during the bicycle boogie scene in Rad.
Oh, have mercy.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful tie together. I love it.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, man.
Would you change anything about Rad?
Nah, man, it's pretty perfect. I mean, it could be longer. It's like barely 90 minutes, but yeah, I don't, I mean, for 80s cheesy sports movies, it's like damn near perfect as far as I'm concerned.
Let's talk Crew's chief rival, Bart. Let's go, let's just do the Bart power rankings. Is it Simpson, Star, Connor?
Oh, man. Connor's got a couple gold medals,
he's got
right?
gold medals.
Dude, that's... And, but he's really short. Tough, man. Bart Starr was a badass. He, like, smoked during Super Bowls and stuff, right? So, man, that's... It all depends on where you want to come from that. For me, it's... Yeah, I mean, I Bart the man Taylor. Bart Connor playing Bart Taylor was, like... a great villain. He wasn't quite up there with the Karate Kid, but he was a great villain. I'd say those three Barts, they have a little something for everyone with those three Barts.
Well said, Ben. Well, are we going with the gut quote for your favorite quote, or is there another great line that you want to bless us with?
Oh, there's another one that I don't quite understand, but I love, and I've taught my 7-year-old how to say it. They're getting ready. Crew and his friends Luke and Becky are getting ready to go deliver newspapers. Crew turns around, looks at him, and he says, "Okay, dudes, let's walk this sucker." I have no idea. It's like such a great 80s quote, man.
Yeah,
like, I like no idea what it means, but
is,
okay, dudes, let's walk this sucker. It's like pretty perfect 1980s. Yeah.
All right. Well, Ben, thank you for joining us, and best of luck to you in the movie battle.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin.
No problem. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next super fan, making his second appearance, Neil Woodliffe of Creedmoor, the Tar Heel from UNC Chapel Hill, currently lives in Raleigh, North Carolina with his girlfriend Mandy and the celebrity that is Benny the Dog. How many Instagram followers? 12,000? Give or take?
Around 12,000.
Neil is still repping hard for the Baltimore Orioles. Neil, welcome to Movie Battle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. It feels it's a privilege to be back second time. You know, I try to. I have a passion for a lot of things. I love a lot of movies. Always trying to, bring people to new films that they may never have been experienced, may never have experienced in their life. Yeah, some of these, and try and lead them down the path to where they would try something new and enjoy it. Give a good reason to.
I like that. That's poignant, as they say.
I try.
Gleaming the Cube, Neil.
Yes.
Well, just for the maybe the ones that did that missed the last episode you were on, when I asked you who would play you in a movie about your life, your response was Jason Alexander. Okay, and you're still sticking with that.
I don't think that would probably be the most obvious choice for anybody you ever have on this on your show. I really don't think anybody can tighten it up any more than that one does.
It is very strong.
With me and George Costanza.
Very strong. Mm-hmm. Very strong. All right. Well, let's get into this. Gleaming the Cube. Our Rad super fan Ben Hendricks, he contacted me and wanted to do Rad, and the first thing that came to my head was Gleaming the Cube, and I asked you, and you just, why don't you tell me what you told me?
Well, you know, from the time the movie came out in 89, I was 13 when it came out, so I was coming off a couple years of, you know, the skateboard craze in the late 80s, going into the early 90s, you know, the Bones Brigade, Pal Peralta group, you know, I was decked out from head to toe in Vision streetwear, you know, in a lot of my middle school years there at Holly Middle School, you know, had some airwalks. I was a Vision streetwear guy, not really airwalk guy, but, you know, a dedicated Thrasher magazine and Trans World Skateboarding magazine purchaser. So, you know, I dabbled in the arts back then. So, you know, this movie came in and kind of maybe the tail end a little bit of the skateboard craze, but which is surprising because when you watch the movie, it's not really a movie about skateboarding like Thrashing was, which is another fine, fine flick.
I would agree.
I might add. But, you know, it was more of a, you know, the kind of the mystery drama, you know, kind of figure out thing, you know, figuring out who you are for Christian Slater, mixed in with some skateboarding thrown in. But, you know, Tony Hawk was a, you know, a character in the movie, you know, had a role, and you know, that was a big draw back then for the movie, you know, the whole skateboard world.
He was an impressive Pizza Hut driver.
You know, that's one thing. If the Pizza Hut still looked like they did in that movie, Pizza Hut would be booming right now. And if all the delivery trucks looked like, I'm not sure, that might have been a Datsun. I'm not sure, but it looked like a little Datsun pickup that had the little Pizza Hut roof on the top. That truck was,
it's spectacular.
The truck was dope. Yeah, it was dope. It really was. It was one of the highlights.
There
of the movie,
is an old school Pizza Hut in Wake Forest, North Carolina.
Yes, you're correct. There is. There's still a couple around. It's one in Creedmoor, or actually the Creedmoor Butner area also. Not quite that old school, but it still has the red roof.
It's one of those things now, you see it, you're like, old school pizza. Like, it just brings back so many memories because, yeah, they've been gone for, I feel like, I don't even remember Pizza Hut delivering until, like, I was in middle school because I remember Duke when they won their first two national championships, with Leitner in them, and Pizza Hut was like the big sponsor of the tournament, and they had those mini basketballs, so that's when we started getting them, and that's when they started opening all the like just straight delivery places. I digress. Mm-hmm. I don't think the listeners want to go on about Pizza Hut. Actually, some of these listeners might be thinking, Pizza Hut. Anyway, all right. So, what would you say is the message of Gleaming the Cube? And actually, what does Gleaming the Cube mean to you? The actual phrase.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that, and you know, they say Gleaming the Cube was first mentioned. There was a skater back named Neil Blender, and he was given an interview, and he asked, "Have you ever gleamed the cube?" And that became kind of a pop culture. You can look up definitions on Urban Dictionary, which be careful there. But you know, usually, you know, it kind of means, you know, being in the zone. You know, for athletes, talking about being in the zone or stepping outside of it and stepping outside the box, if you would, and looking back at that cube and you know, gleaming at it. And some people call it a fugue state. You know, I'm a golfer. you know, golfers get in the zone, you know, all of a sudden you roll off four or five straight birdies and you're just in that zone. So that's kind of what it means, you know, moving to that next level and whatever you do, and realizing and not realizing, I mean, that you're there. It's kind of just being in this state of unconsciousness.
Well said. You're definitely gleaming the cube so far in this segment.
Well, as far as the meaning of the movie, to go back to that, not just the title itself, you know, it's, I think the meaning that gets overlooked is, you know, how Christian Slater's character, he kind of, you know, is the ne'er-do-well, irresponsible, skater-looking guy, and then he transforms to, you know, Mr. Preppy in the middle to think he'll get more respect, or, you know, he needs to make that change to be able to investigate his brother's murder, people to take him seriously. And then he kind of goes back to his roots, you know, with his skate buddies who helps him out, you know. And so the message is kind of like, you know, you can change and it can help, but always be who you are.
I would agree. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, besides the skateboarding, what did you like best about Gleaming the Cube?
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, you had car chases, you had some limited martial arts action, you know, obviously skateboarding is there, you know, you had a little romance there, even though it was pretty quick after his brother died. That was, you know, he probably could have waited another couple weeks before he moved in on the gal, but, you know, it's just one of those movies that you watch and you kind of get all the little pieces. You know, you get the buddies, you know, his buddies goofing off, you get, you know, a little mystery, you get a little, you know, little action. It's all kind of mixed in, you know. If it tells you, you know, what you like about the movie, you know, Mandy actually sat down and watched it with me when I was, you know, we talked about this, and when we got done, she'd never seen it because I think she was five when it came out, but that's another story. She was like, you know, that wasn't a bad movie. That was pretty good. I was like, well, you know, it's got to have a lot in it for that reaction. So I think you get all the little pieces that you want in any movie.
It's just one of those movies that has everything, Neil.
It really does. It really does. You know, murder, mayhem, you know, car chases, you know, suspense, love, you know, brotherhood.
Great cast. You know, just great. A lot of that, guys. The dad is the guy from Revenge of the Nerds 2. That's the first thing that pops in my head. I'm sure he's been in lots of other stuff too. That's just the first thing that comes to mind. All right, so you get one favorite quote. What's your favorite quote of Gleaming the Cube?
It's kind of tough, you know, because one thing, you know, this movie, I'll say, is not one of those quotable movies that you can reel off four or five. And, you know, when I refreshed my memory and rewatched it, the one that stood out to me, and this is, it's no real, you know, wow factor, but the quote was, "I don't know what's worse, being blown up in a nuclear war or having a 7-Eleven on every corner." And when I heard that quote, I'm like, I can appreciate that. You know, that was 1989, 7-Elevens. This was shot in California, based in California. And now I think of that quote and I'm like, ah, you know, you can replace 7-Eleven with Starbucks. You can replace it with Walgreens. You can replace it with Dollar General. So I don't know. That quote kind of stuck with me when I rewatched the movie.
Well, Neil, we appreciate your lesson on capitalism. that is great. It's ahead of a time, and I like how you know, made the references, and yes, you can go in any, you know, any direction there. And yeah. Walgreens especially. Is it all, it's
yeah,
all
yeah,
Walgreens?
Yeah, one on every corner.
Still CVS. But it,
yeah, they're the last ones hanging on, I think. No more Rite Aid, no more Eckerd, no more Car Drug, no more. It's all Walgreens now.
All right, well, Neil, we appreciate you joining us, and best of luck in the movie battle.
Thank you. Right. Thank you, Kevin.
Before we get to the battle, a quick disclaimer. While discussing both Rad and Gleaming the Cube, the movie Thrashing with Josh Brolin is brought up. When we were switching back to Rad, Neil mistakenly refers to Josh Brolin in Rad. Both super fans, as you'll hear, are so passionate and the flow just goes so well in this battle that it just went past me. And knowing Ben, he is way too nice of a guy to call Neil out on this. Neil did text me afterward, you know, admitting his faux pas. And just so we're clear, Rad Army, please don't revoke Ben's membership. Thank you. On to the battle. All right, party people. It's the moment you've been waiting for. The battle. First up, my man, Ben Hendricks, representing Rad. Ben, talk to me.
All right. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Neil. So first things first, like I watch Rad like a good 2-3 times a month at least. It's been a regular thing for years and years. But I watched Gleaming the Cube last week in preparation. And man, let's just start with the opening credits. Holy cow, Neil. Like if you watch the opening credits of Rad, like that is some of the most like badasses on bikes that you could possibly get. The song is perfect. Everything about that opening credit from a 1980s standpoint in Rad is perfect. Like the song in Gleaming the Cube, I couldn't even, like, I Shazammed it and it didn't even pop up. Like no one even knows who sings the song that starts Gleaming the Cube. So right there from the jump, opening credits, Rad with a good solid uppercut to the chin. I'll leave it to you there on that one.
Well, you know, the theme song from Gleaming the Cube is aptly named Gleaming the Cube. You know, and it sets the tone. I mean, it's a good 1989, getting out of the 80s, starting into the 90s, you know, kind of that. You know, you hate to call it a B movie, but it kind of was. You know, it did do well in the box office, became just a huge cult hit. And, you know, that theme, you know, fits perfectly with the type of movie it is. So it kind of set the stage for it, in my opinion.
Yeah, for me, man, it just didn't, like, I went back and rewatched it, and I was like, I think I was expecting more, you know, like, I think I was a little bit spoiled by Rad, and for a movie like Gleaming the Cube to have literally the best skater in history in the movie, Tony Hawk, and really not get him out of that stupid Pizza Hut truck, I just couldn't get over it, man. Like, make Tony, just give the opening credits to Tony Hawk at that point. So I couldn't get there, man.
I think that's the irony of the movie. You know, Tony Hawk obviously is the, you know, he's the Michael Jordan of skateboarding, always will be. You know, he changed it with the merchandising and all that, you know, with the help from the, you know, Pal Peralta group and, you know, his Bones Brigade group that ran around with him all those years when he was young. But, you know, the thing that's lost on this, the movie capitalized on the skating craze and the skating interest, you know, by promoting it. But in the end, it's not really, you know, a skateboarding movie. You know, and I think that's the difference. You know, in Rad, you got Josh Brolin. You have a very young Lori Loughlin, who, you know, Aunt Becky's seen better days than she's been seen this past week. But, you know, that's what it is. You know, it's the bike movie. It's everything about it. This movie, skateboarding's in the background of it, and it's a vessel. That's how they get around. You know, they made fun of Brian, you know, Christian Slater's character, when he was, you know, riding mm-hmm. a bike after his little prep transformation. So they kind of used that as the draw for the cultural thing that was going on about that time. And it was actually, you know, it was getting close to ending. You know, my skater days were, you know, around, you know, probably 87-ish to, you know, right around 89, it kind of went away. But, you know, so in the way I view it, you know, we've got a movie, you know, that's a good movie with action. You got great car chases. Great. I think it's a Dodge Dynasty that Stephen Barrow was driving in the end and, you know, took the door off. It was just great car chase, you know, especially with the budget it had. You know, you've got that. You've got a little murder. You've got a little, you know, a little espionage going on, a little gun smuggling going on, you know, had a little martial arts action in there in a couple scenes, you know, really, really good choreographed fight scenes that you saw there between, I think it was Bobby and Colonel Tran. And yeah, so you had all these pieces of movies, all these little genres coming together. Now, the fact it had the skateboarding in it was great, but that wasn't the movie itself. You kind of had to look past that to appreciate the movie as a whole, which, you know, is a little different. I mentioned a movie to Kevin during the intros, you know, Thrashing is a great skateboarding movie. And I think, you know, Thrashing probably, you know, fits the skateboarding movie description, you know, whereas Gleaming the Cube, this is a movie that has skateboarding in it. And they use that draw to get people in because, you know, it had Tony Hawk in a supporting role there. But, you know, all his buddies, I think Mike McGill did the stunts for Christian Slater. I think Tommy Guerrero was in there as one of the buddies. And a couple of others that were there were Rodney Mullen. He did a little freestyle board piece when he was skating in the warehouse. They just kind of threw that in there to do some freestyle boarding. But, you know, it had a lot of those guys, Lance Mountain, Mike Vallely from the Bones Brigade, Power Project. Bones were great, and people who were following skating then, you know, they knew this, you know, so that's why they went to the movie. And, you know, I dare say some skaters who went to the movie probably came out just a little disappointed that, like, hey, you know, where was all the real skating going on? But, you know, I looked at it as the movie itself. You know, it's, you know, just a fun movie that gives you all sorts of pieces to it, and if you were a skater back then, you kind of got a little taste of it.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And, you know, you didn't even, when I went back and rewatched it, I'll tell you, man, my favorite scene, I think, was the downhill scene where Brian's just like flying downhill, man. It was just such a rad scene. Like, even rad is even a word you use in the vernacular. Like, no one says anything about Gleaming the Cube. But anyway, so Neil, like,
that's true.
I thought that downhill scene, though, was amazing. And you mentioned the warehouse. I thought there were some cool scenes, and you kind of touch on it for me. Like, I think these two movies kind of get unfairly compared to one another, and especially Rad, like, will always, people will be like, oh, what about Gleaming the Cube? Like, I don't think that's the best comparison because it's not that. And, you know, I think you did the Varsity Blues, right? Varsity Blues and Remember the Titans. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because Kevin and I were talking about it after, and I was like, man, for me, like, both of those movies are great. One is a much better movie and the other is much more watchable. Like, I could watch Varsity Blues 80 times. I've seen Remember the Titans probably 5. Remember the Titans is a much better movie for me, but Varsity Blues is much more watchable. And I kind of think these two are in the same way. Gleaming the Cube, much more complete story. Like, actually, you know, is trying to be something bigger than just a entertainment piece with a bicycle. And that's, Rad's pretty much like 90 minutes of bicycle. The story's not all completely there, but it's just, for me, a much more watchable movie at the end of the day. Though Gleaming the Cube, I can contest, like, yeah, has a more fully baked story to it.
It does. You know, and you get back to the title itself, you know, something as cerebral as that, to have people ponder over what does this mean, and, you know, what does it mean to you, and have different meanings to different people. And, you know, it still gets tossed around, and I was doing just a little, you know, little research on it, and, you know, there were some references in some pop culture shows, you know, to Gleaming the Cube. I think the Goldbergs had a reference to it. I think it was an episode of Robot Chicken that Christian Slater was in. You know, they bring it up, which, you know, you start debating cast here, too. You know, both movies have pretty solid stars in them. You know, Christian Slater, you know, he's been around. He's done some great movies. You know, one of my favorites that he did was, you know, everybody loves Heathers. Most people do. Cuffs is the underrated Christian Slater movie that I like. And The Legend of Billie Jean is one of my favorite Christian Slater movies. You know, that's one of the ones most people don't even know what that movie is, but I always loved to rent it when I was a kid and go to the movie store. You know, you've got those, and, you know, then you get those, like Kevin, I mean, that guy, you know, you've got Stephen Bauer in movies, you've got Richard Hurd, who was Lawndale. You know, he played Mr. Wilhelm in Seinfeld. You know, George's boss. I just always stands out. But he was in tons of movies. A couple of his buddies, Max Perlich was in. He played Yabo in the movie. Made the awesome skateboard at the end with the speed wheels and the stainless steel, you know, rails and stainless steel appearing grip tape on the top. You know, he's been in a ton of movies. So you got some folks who've been around. You know, none of them ever became huge stars, but you know, they made for a good cast in this movie. So you got some good pieces there. You know, Brolin's in Rad, Lori Loughlin. You know, two big names. Brolin's probably been the you know, people could debate, you know, is Brolin bigger than Christian Slater? Some people say yes, some people say no. I don't know, maybe give Brolin the nod because he's Thanos. I don't know. But, you know, Christian Slater also had Pump Up the Volume and True Romance. So, you know, it looks like Slater's movies have been traditionally some of these, you know, not off the wall, but, you know, more cerebral, you know, not true art house films, but movies that you know, have a little bit of bite to them where you scratch your head a little bit, got to think about them.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned True Romance because I was going to call you on that. You can't have a Christian Slater conversation and not mention True Romance. A great movie.
Yeah.
And just talking about the cast, like Rad has one of those weird casts, you know, like you mentioned, you got those two twins that are basically, I don't know if you guys remember that, of course you do, the Crimson Twins from G.I. Joe basically look exactly like Rodney Rex from Rad. You know, those two guys have written a ton of horror movies. They wrote Annabelle and The Conjuring. I mean, you know, you have Bart Connor, who played Bart Taylor, gold medal Olympian, two, maybe three gold medal, I think two gold medals, married Nadia Comaneci. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then you got Lori Loughlin, which we didn't really talk about this, Kev, but we have to notice and we have to talk about the fact and how funny it is now, today, as we sit, that Lori Loughlin is telling telling Crew not to worry about his SATs. Yes. Because, you know, it's just...
That is pretty good. That's...
It's just so funny. Yeah, man, it's just so funny.
That's pretty good.
And Neil, you mentioned, you know, Gleaming the Cube and the references. You mentioned the Goldberg reference. I think that reference comes in the Goldberg episode on Rad. Like, it is baked into the episode that's pretty much an homage.
Oh, really?
To Rad. Yeah, and it's an awesome episode. I can't even remember. Like, I want to say the name of the episode might be Rad. But yeah, it's a great reference. But both those movies kind of get, Gleaming the Cube gets a little more, you know, mainstream references, but Rad kind of, you can tell who the real bike nerds are when you kind of dive in there. And then, you know, yeah, the last thing that Neil, that you mentioned that I kind of want to touch on, you talked about Gleaming the Cube. It's funny because when I went back and rewatched it, like there is a scene where, I can't remember the character's name, but he explains what Gleaming the Cube is. And then he says, 90% of people don't even get it. And I was like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think
so. Maybe that's why they changed.
I think that was Max.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I think that was Max Perlich that explained.
Yeah, that sounds right. And maybe that's why they changed the name of the movie to A Brother's Justice or whatever when it went other places, because people just didn't quite get it. But I thought that was funny that in the movie they basically give a tip of the hat to, like, hey, you don't get it. You don't get what we're talking about here. So I always thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, but, you know, talking about other people in the movies, I'll take your Annabelle and raise you. Christian Jacobs, who played the character Grimmick, one of the little skater buddies, he actually became the person who created Yo Gabba Gabba.
Nice.
So, and everybody knows, everybody's favorite Yo Gabba Gabba character is Muno. So, yeah, that's Kevin's probably wondering how I know this, never having any kids myself, but, you know, I try and be a learned person on all things.
You're very cultured, yes. Neil.
I try to be.
Yes, you are just dropping knowledge all over the place today.
It's tough. Both good movies. He had a good description.
I mean, my hands behind my head, I'm just letting y'all go. Yeah, there's nothing I can add, and I'll stop talking.
Oh. Yeah, I think he summed it up. I mean, both movies are great in their own way. Both movies, you know, are going to have a you know, both movies are basically become cult favorites. You know, I don't think either one of them ever did a whole lot.
Oh, they bombed.
You know, they were both, you know, I think probably didn't make their budget back, you know, but they both are very popular movies with certain groups, and movies that people will be very adamant to argue for in their respective, you know, with their respective opinions. But, you know, I think one thing we can say, I think, unlike other things going on in the world these days, we can talk about these movies and we can agree that both of them are good, and, you know, disagree that one's better than the other, and respect that. So,
I mean, one's just more watchable, so
yeah,
than the other. One's more watchable. That should win, right?
And I like that description. Yeah, I like the description you gave. I like that description you gave. You know, it's movies can be watchable. Movies can be good. You know, some movies aren't watchable, but are, you know, Academy Award winners. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few, and it's like, I know that one, and I'm sure it's a brilliantly done film, but I just don't, you know, I'll watch it that one time and would never think about watching it again. Whereas you've got others that are just, you know, you just like, this movie is so bad, but every time it's on, or every time you're bored cleaning the house, you know, you pop something in a DVD player, and I still do, just to have on in the background, just for pure enjoyment. And there's something to be said about that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I told Kevin the other day, I was like, man, there are movies that I've seen one, maybe two times that are, I will admit, some of the best movies I've ever seen. I'd never watch them again. But then, like, The Cable Guy or something else pops on TV, and I'm like, yeah, I'll watch that. Terrible movie, but I'll watch it over and over and over again, man. So is it really terrible? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So what I say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Love it.
Guys, this has been just great. I have enjoyed listening to you two. I could go, you know, on and on about how brilliant both of you are and the points either, you know, you have made. Both cases, I don't know. This one, for me, it's too close to call. Definitely one, I would say, Rad. Completely, you know, way more rewatchable. Gleaming the Cube, yeah, I watched it again Sunday night. Yeah. That was a good movie. I was drawn in, and, you know, I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't remember every detail the same, because, you know, it probably been 25 years since I watched it. Mm-hmm. So I would like to give each of you a chance to, you know, get your last word in for all the Movie Battle fans out there.
Neil, you want to start us off since I took the first punch?
I will. All right. I will. You know, I've got Tony Hawk, greatest skater in the world. I've got Christian Slater, you know, with frosted tips in this movie. You know, I've got car chases. I've got explosions. You know, I've got a kind of a awkward love triangle with the dead brother and the girlfriend. You know, I've got a, you know, murder mayhem. You know, just it's just got everything in it that you would want. And even though the music at the beginning, the theme song, is a little average, it'll stick in your head. Trust me, listen to it about three times in a row and you'll walk around singing it all day long. So when you got all that in a movie, you cannot go wrong. I mean, it's hard to top.
Well, I'll tell you, Neil, like, I really wanted to listen to that song again, but I couldn't find who sings it. It's like it doesn't even exist anymore. Like, I have no idea where to find it. I was, like, Googling it. I think maybe I found it on YouTube. But, you know, you talk about Rad. You talk about that opening, like, three-minute scene of just the dudes doing these sick tricks, man. I mean, it just starts, it sets the tone right off the jump with that. With the 80s brilliance that is John Farnham singing Break the Ice, you know, right on top of it. You know, you got Farnham later doing Thunder in Your Heart, which is a song from Rocky. You got the Rocky connection with Talia Shire. Like, everything about this movie for me, just start to finish, so watchable, just dumb fun kind of movie. And now you get, you know, you can go back and chuckle every time Lori Loughlin talks about the SAT. So for me, like, Rad is just always going to be like one of my very favorite movies. And I do want to mention, like, PG movies have changed completely since we were kids. Like Gleaming the Cube, I think might, is it PG-13 or PG? Either way, no way I could show it to my 7-year-old. And I can watch, I can just throw him in front of Rad all day long and let him have at it. So for me, man, Rad takes the cake, but Neil makes some great points.
There you go. Enjoyed it.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I'm thankful for your participation. Both of y'all were just amazing.
And hey, thanks for having us, Kev.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We'll have to have y'all on again. Thank you again.
Talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Take care. Take care, Neil. Right. Take care, Kev.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. Please subscribe. If you're feeling it, leave a review. If you would like to support or leave a voice message, please go to our homepage. You can follow Movie Battle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for coming correct.